I'll share a few words about the instructions before I offer some guidance for the practice. As Vipassana instruction progresses, we are invited to be with more and more aspects of our lived experience. And just to kind of recap the instructions that have been given so far, we begin with an anchor, right? To stabilize and steady the attention. Hearing, body, breathing, palms, whatever your anchor is. And we expand to work with pleasant and unpleasant sensations that arise through the process of meditation and in our lives. We expand to become aware of and curious about thoughts, mind states, emotions. And this morning, the instructions will expand to include what we call kind of choiceless attention or choiceless awareness, where the attention, where basically life kind of directs where the attention goes. We don't direct it so much, but life does. And we just notice whatever's predominant in our experience. And because there are so many different instructions being given, it's important to keep the practice fairly simple. So if you feel confused or you feel yourself trying to figure out different instructions, you can always come back to the anchor. Being with the anchor is very much onward leading, develops so many beautiful qualities of mind. So the anchor's always there. And then to come back to what was said the first night of the retreat, the opening, just the simple question, is there awareness? You might sense into that as I'm speaking, is there awareness? And what's being known? Very, very simple. Because the truth is that any object being known, awareness and object, mind and object arise together over and over and over again. That's what happens in our lives. And really anything that's being known has the capacity to reflect to us the nature of our own awareness. So it's like no object is better than another object. Like paying attention to pleasant or unpleasant or neutral isn't better than paying attention to the anchor or thinking. What matters most is that we're nurturing the quality of sati, of mind, heart, body fullness. So we give you all of these different skillful means, and we also want to keep the practice simple. Noticing awareness and aware of what's being known in the ever-changing stream of our human experience within our human hearts. So bringing the attention inward and settling into your meditation posture. And just take some moments to let presence find you. Allow the attention to sink down into the breathing, into the body. So your body becomes suffused with awareness. soft awareness, soft breath. Awareness receiving the changing experience of body breathing, palms resting. A stream of sensations that let you know you're sitting. If breathing is your anchor, is dropping any ideas or concepts about breathing? Awareness receiving the direct experience of the in-breath. There may be a fresh vital energy like a waxy spring green leaf. I'm bursting with life, vitality. The in-breath may be a feeling of expanding through the belly, the organs, the pelvic floor. On the out-breath, you may notice a settling, a grounding. Sometimes the out-breath is a little bit pleasant, light. The belly drops back in and down a bit. Often it's helpful to hold the anchor lightly. We don't grip it. We don't try to get back. And in moments, the awareness wakes back up. Have breath in, palms resting. And if there's something else that becomes predominant in your experience, like the state of the heart, kind of emotional current or curiosity about noticing the presence of thought, the absence of thought, at any moment, and just turn the attention in that direction. And that experience becomes the center of the meditation at the foreground. Just staying open and curious. As you sense your own capacity to soften, and to widen, allowing the awareness to widen into exactly what's here for you. All included, thinking, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, states of the heart. All included in the vast, open field of awareness. And as the attention steadies and stabilizes through the meditation, it's often natural to feel a just kind of a softening or a letting go with any effort to direct the attention. Awareness naturally just notices whatever's predominant, and we're not directing that. We're not setting the agenda. But life unfolds through us, through the sense organs. So you might drop any preference of being with the anchor. and organically, spontaneously. Just notice the attention will land and the awareness knows. There may be feeling of substantiality or heaviness in the body, and then the arising of a thought, and then a kind of heart state of a resonance from that thought, and then a sound, and then a curiosity, and then sleepiness, and then an in-breath. It could be a multitude of human experiences. It's kind of like a kaleidoscope. You may stay with one, kind of continued arising for a while. The experience of awareness may be a little like a mirror. It just reflects whatever is put in front of it. It's just what mirrors do. It's just what awareness does. So we're aware of the stream of changing experiences, objects being known, thoughts, emotions, sensations. Also aware of the experience of awareness itself. Power, the beauty of experience being known, illuminated, received within the light of awareness. We don't need to go seeking experience or directing the attention. Just resting in the stillness at the center of it all, the stillness of the mind that knows the breathing, that knows the thoughts and emotions. And at any time, if there's a sense of not truly being in contact with what's happening, just returning to the anchor. And when you're ready, just putting down any conscious attempt to direct the attention. Awareness is right here. Within the choiceless attention, stay very curious. Curious, awake awareness. There's a sense of kind of spacing out. Just notice what's happening, seeing, hearing, touching, tasting, thoughts and emotions arising and being known directly. Really receiving in a contactful way the moments of your experience directly. And in the last few minutes of the meditation, just noticing how is it to just to invite your awareness to really be imbued with kindness. To be filled, suffused with the presence of metta. So that which is being known, it's rising and passing. Within the warm heart of awareness, it's really inviting that presence of tenderness, of care. Does anyone have a question or something you'd like to bring forth about your experience of your practice here? And thanks for moving, for running the mic. Tom, I think there's a hand. Will you raise your hand high? Thank you. I think right here, the black hat on the left, yeah.
Can you hear me?
I can, okay. Yeah.
My question is about a sort of experience I had the other day. I was mindfully eating, and I suddenly felt very open, like all of my senses were open. Hmm. And so it was like the tasting, the hearing, the body, and it was very overwhelming. Hmm. And my anchor sound, and even that, it was disorienting. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering how you deal with the sensitivity of it all, like if you ever feel too open, and like how to like ground yourself in that moment.
What a beautiful question. Yeah, I really appreciate the way you're holding your experience. I'd like to speak to two pieces of what you're sharing. First of all, it can be almost like jolting to have that kind of direct sense experience that's not mediated by a lot of thinking. It can be really new and unfamiliar. And so it's natural to kind of have there be some response of, you know, can I trust this? Is this okay? Because it's new. Yeah, I remember when something similar happened to me, and when I left a note for my teacher, I was just like, what's going on? You know, is this okay? So first I just want to say that from what you're sharing here is that you can trust that unfolding that happened as you were eating. You know, it's like there are these moments in meditation when conditions come together. We can't begin make them happen, but conditions come together. And there's a very direct kind of experience, and it's natural that can leave us feeling sometimes like the way I experience it sometimes is almost like I don't have skin, you know, just like super raw and vulnerable. And it's because it's those kinds of experiences aren't good news to the ego, you know. There's not a lot of ground for kind of egoic activity to land in those moments. And so some of what can bring a sense of ground is just, number one, the awareness of it. You know, you're asking the right questions, you're seeing it. You know, getting outside, feeling your feet on the ground, breathing in some of that cool, fresh air. Looking around can help orient. Like just looking, letting your eyes and your head and your neck move around the room like, oh, look at everything green in this room. Look at everything blue in this room. Look at the shapes and textures. That just kind of helps the nervous system be here and now in a certain way. And then to also acknowledge, like, whatever comes up in the heart mind after that kind of experience is also something to be known. It's like it may be like, oh, fear, anxiety, uncertainty. That can also be known and held. You know, and I kind of wish sometimes that, oh, you know, there can be a, like when you see pictures on the cover of a magazine of somebody meditating with headphones on, looking so calm and peaceful with pink lip gloss. You know? It's like, if it was just like that, if it was just like, oh, we meditate and we become more and more and more, this would, it's not, it's so much more gritty. You know, waking up is gritty. Because it challenges these deeply held ways of perceiving. And it kind of like throws it up in the air. And then we're asked to trust something that's more trustworthy but maybe less familiar. So it sounds like you're doing all the right things and asking all the right questions. And it's my sense that you can just trust what's unfolding because of your practice. Like that's happening because of your practice, not just randomly because of the salad or casserole, right? It's happening because of your practice. Yeah. Does that respond to what you're...
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. There's a hand right here, Tom. Thank you. And if you don't mind, that's great. Keep your hand up. Thanks.
Hi.
Hi.
My question is about choiceless awareness. So earlier in the retreat, we received the instruction to stick with an anchor and not to hop around.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that helpful.
Right, yeah.
What's the difference between choiceless awareness and hopping around between anchors?
Okay, that's a great question. So hopping around between, first of all, the fact that you find the anchor helpful, stay with the anchor as long as you want to. You know, the whole retreat may be with the anchor, and that's great. That's a really great practice. So hopping around to different anchors is still a directing of the attention. There's a dimension of intention or volition that's like, I'm going to be with breathing now. Oh, for whatever reason, now I'm going to be with hearing. For whatever reason, now I'm going to be with the body sitting. There's a kind of choice point where we direct the attention, because the nature of attention is that it can be directed. It's very powerful, actually, when we realize, oh, I can direct the attention up here, I get out the window, in my belly, seeing the bell. Like it's quite powerful, the capacity to direct attention. Choiceless awareness brings forth of a kind of attention that's very, very present moment, but we don't direct it, life does. So it's kind of like when we relinquish directing the attention is still happening. I guess I'm looking at you right now, I'm not directing my attention in any one way. I'm aware of seeing different colors of hair and then the shape of your bodies and then wondering if what I'm saying is connecting and then feeling a little bit hungry. So it's like I'm not directing it, but it's happening. And so it's remarkable that life still happens, we still have agency, but we're not directing it. What matters in choiceless awareness is that we're in touch with the experience of awareness and what's being known. And so if it also becomes like, oh, am I doing the anchor? Am I doing choiceless? I'm going to use the term choiceless attention. We kind of use awareness and attention, but I'm going to say it choiceless attention. Just come back to the anchor. Yeah, and you might notice, you might become curious, like walking is a great place to notice that. Because when we're walking, there's so much going on, right? There's so much going on to just notice there may be this kind of natural sense of, oh, all these things are being noticed at once, and that's just life. And most of our lives, like, it's not great to drive the car and do mindfulness of breathing in a really concentrated way. You know, most of our life is like is more that realm of choiceless attention, and it has kind of a durability and a stability to it. So it's really great to practice. But what gives it power is the collectedness of the samadhi that arises from being with the anchor. So that's why we start with the anchor. When we do, like I did a month of retreat in September, we spent the first 12 days with an anchor. You know, and then began to open it up a little bit more, because otherwise we would have just been thinking, you know? Does that clarify a bit?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, we have time for one. We'll take one right here, Tom, one more brief. Will you raise your hand? Right up front. Thank you.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question about the instruction to know that you're knowing.
Yeah.
So in choiceless awareness, as it shifts around, I find that brings thinking. So I'll know that I'm feeling the fingertip on my pants. And then the thought will come, oh, do I know that I know that?
Uh-huh.
Which seems to then break the just sensation, the feeling of it. So I'm not sure I'm approaching that right or I understood the instruction.
I do think you understand the instruction, and I do think you're approaching it right because you're seeing what the mind does. You know, you're seeing what the mind does, this and that, and then a thought, and you're seeing the kind of the how the thought is arising, constructed, passing away, and then to notice what happens next. Maybe you're doubting your experience a little bit. So just opening to when you feel your hand or the warmth, like just give yourself over to that. Awareness is powerful, but kind of more subtle. And the thinking mind isn't often used to thought being known in awareness. Because when there's awareness, there's so much more space. There's like something else going on other than the narrowness of the thinking. And so you're just like working it out in the practice. And it's not doing it wrong because the thought is known in the awareness. And then you may be questioning it. And there can be a time when we like go, is this awareness? Is this not awareness? Why am I worrying about this? Is that it? And then you just recognize like this is a tangle. Come back to the hands. Really, really normal. Really normal as we open to this style of practice. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. We're not going to take any more for this morning. Thank you. There will be a 2:30. Victoria's going to offer metta here in the hall at 2:30. Guided metta. Just a few words about where the practice discussion rooms are, where we are, because you can get up in that hallway and it can be hard to kind of tell. So when you go up the stairs, Howie's room's like kind of dead ahead, straight ahead. That's Howie's room. And you'll see when you go down the hall, I'm on the left, Victoria's on the right. So we'll have our doors open and it's just easy to get confused. But Howie, go down the hall, I'm on the left, Victoria's on the right. As Victoria said yesterday, we are in the heart of the retreat. When I teach with Howie, he always says on a day like today, keep the kettle on the stove. So I'm telling him, Howie, I'm telling him, keep the kettle, sock it to him, keep the kettle on the stove. And I actually mean this, I mean, we joke, but I actually mean this really sincerely, because you've made so much effort coming here Tuesday night. It's Sunday, it's Easter Sunday, it's National Trans Day of Visibility. It's a wonderful day to practice the Dhamma. But you've been making an effort all these days. Don't fritter it away. This can be right at the point of not that much left. No, this is actually the time to really give yourself wholeheartedly to being here, really out of respect for the effort you've made so far. And there is momentum. We feel it. We feel it in you. We're in a field of practice that's only becoming more and more potent. And you really never know the next time you're going to get to sit a silent retreat, or even if you will, really. So you might take today like being, if you've ever sat a day-long retreat, you know how precious it can be? Like, oh, I get to sit. Let today be a day-long for you. It's all day long. Today is a day-long retreat for you to bring that kind of devotion and continuity and just determination. Like, receive the efforts you've made so far by really being here and showing up. Check the board. If you weren't seen yesterday, you should be seen today. Wishing you kindfulness, mindfulness, body heartfulness in the moments of your day today. Oops.